All right, we'll begin with prayer in the communion class.
Amen.
Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you're doing. Help us to do all this in your heart.
Yes.
In Jesus' mighty name, help us to go forward in you and be the blessing you know we can be. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Yes. All right, this morning we'll look at, I was going to go to Corinthians, but I have to go to, let's look at Genesis. I'll come back to it. Let's look at Genesis chapter 17. The Lord taught me something about as we go forward in Him, everything that we do is our daily action is our first sowings. Everything is tied to the way we sow and walk in love. When God, I'll start with verse 1, 17 and 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nigh, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God walked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. When the Lord did this, Isaac was born a year later. And Isaac was one of the most obedient children. He had the best son-to-father relationship in the Word of God. Except for Jesus Christ. He was a son of covenant. Before this, Abraham had communion. Before the battle the king, when he helped the king of Sodom beat the title of the king of nations, they had a great battle. And the enemy was always trying to stop the process of what he was doing. But he had communion with the Lord. He took time to be with him. He believed God. This influenced his heritage. Everything that we do, the way you live, the way you love God is tied to the way the seeds you sow. You will see the living works of God in your generations when you do that, as we follow Him.
Amen.
Isaac saw that he saw the knife. He didn't, and he laid on. He obeyed his father. And when the father, when Abraham drew back the knife, he didn't move. He didn't run. He was just as much a man of covenant as Abraham was.
That's something to really think about, class. Are y'all really thinking about that? You know, he's got the knife. He's got everything, and Isaac's just gonna lay there. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to ask that, where's the sacrifice? You it, Isaac.
I don't know, my feet would have been hitting.
But you know what? Abraham never told Isaac. He said, God will provide a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. God's going to make a provision.
But Abraham was totally dedicated to God and the things of God. Mm-hmm. When we do that, we're setting a pattern. For not only so that God can continue to build on our lives, but that pattern, you'll see it in your children. The Lord, one day at work, he was teaching me about sowing and reaping and the power of it. As a child, I always wondered why did things go the way that they went? What happened to get the earth to this point? And but this time, as he was showing me about sowing and reaping, it's like in one moment. I hope I can do it justice the way he gave it to me. But in one, I saw how a man begins to work as unto, and he's living his life towards God, unto God, as a living sacrifice. Everything that the Lord give him to do, he immediately cooperates with it. Every time you do this, you're not just doing an act. You are putting something in motion for your generations.
Whoa.
If you receive a heritage from the Lord, you can relay that heritage. Everything that you do, every piece of obedience, everything that you do is working towards a greater goal.
So are you saying we should think generational when we do things, not just think for the moment, but for generations?
Yes, you can. Okay. It works both ways. Uh-huh. Remember when Brother Horton taught about obedience is a children honoring. He said that when children honor their parents, uh-huh. All right, that's a that law comes with a promise. Long life is the promise. He said he pointed out that's the only one that comes with a promise. You can obey your parents on purpose and receive the promise of long life. If your grandparents didn't live long and your parents don't live long, if you're in a generation of people that don't live over 50, if you can obey your parents, you can honor them in the name of the Lord on purpose and receive long life. You can control your destiny through obedience to the Lord. Doing it on purpose. Some things that I don't want my children to do, I won't do. I told them, I said, don't ever text and drive. And you know, when you're in slow traffic and you need to text somebody, mm-hmm. I just won't do it because I told them not to do it. Mm-hmm. They still have a free will, but if I do it, and if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do by faith, that I know the Lord's watching over them, I'm setting something in motion by your actions.
You are.
That doesn't mean that they might not slip and text and drive, but I'm doing all I can do so that they never do it. I don't want them to, that's just an example. Same thing for stealing, same thing for lust, or even receiving your healing. When we're in communion with the Lord, is the way you live. You're the way you live with him, the way you commune with him. The only time we're going to go forward in life is when we receive his word by faith and act on it. Continue when you believe in the Lord for something, and you're in the duration of faith. You put something, your faith puts something in motion, mm-hmm. and your obedience puts something in motion. This is your communion. It transcends in every way of life. When Abraham took communion, he wouldn't receive anything from the king of Sodom because he raised his hands and worshiped God. The king of Sodom, what he was offering him seemed to be a good deal. But when you're in the presence of the Lord, you know things you don't normally know. And you can do things you don't normally do.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. When he communed with him, he was able to stay steady. When Lot, when you draw near to the Lord, if anybody that's not drawing near to the Lord, if they love the world somewhere, they're going to have a problem. Lot began to have a problem with Abraham. His men and Abraham's men were quarreling over because of the cattle and the grass. So when Lot left, then the promise came. The continuation of God's plan came, because he was supposed to leave his father's house, his kinfolks, and his nation. And he did, except for Lot came with him. And Lot's servants and his family. So he, when Lot left, then the Lord started talking to him about his son that will come. But he said, be perfect, because this time next year you'll have a son. And Isaac was the most cooperative son that I know of in the whole Bible, except for Jesus. And he laid his life down.
Amen.
Believing God, you know, he would look to Abraham. Abraham's looking to God. That's your communion. When you look to the Lord, you're in communion with him. Mm-hmm. You're able to do the things that God has given you.
Amen.
But because of the ways of the laws of sowing and reaping, you can take everything that you do works together in every, you know, towards the plan of God. But the plan of God can't be revealed in disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't be revealed in when people are when they hold back. If they don't make the step of faith.
Huh?
Yes, fine.
I've heard it said that, you know, the covenant means that all that you have is mine and all that I have is yours, and that God could not have with him given his son if he was not willing to give up his son.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an act of faith that brought Christ mm-hmm. through his bloodline.
Yeah.
And you know, absolutely. Isaac didn't just automatically be obedient there. Abraham trained him. That's mm-hmm. how God chose Abraham.
Yeah.
Says to do your family, your whole family.
You take your mm-hmm. family and show them, you know, teach and train them. So he yeah. was already trained in that position. To
yeah.
That
the relationship between Abraham and Isaac mirrors.
But what she's saying is just so true. For things to get done on earth, God has to have a person that's willing to pray it in, do it in. Some kind, and Abraham was that person.
Yeah. Be a person of covenant again. All yes, that I have
that
is yours.
Yes,
uh-huh. And all
yes,
that you have
good.
Is mine. Like a marriage, that's a covenant.
My son's yours.
Yeah. You see the same situation
true.
With the Father and Jesus. Every time he did what the Father told him to do, mm-hmm. he would go spend time with his Father.
Yeah.
This is where the ability to receive the greater blessings come from.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that.
In his presence.
The relationship. It's communion.
Okay. Colossians 4:15 says, let your heart always be guided by the peace of the anointed one
mm-hmm.
who called you to peace as part of his one body, and always be thankful. Let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Richly. Ooh.
Richly.
Yeah. When you,
that's good.
There's a difference between dirt and rich dirt.
Yeah.
A lot of rich dirt.
Oh, yeah. And this, when you have that kind of relationship, every act of obedience works together. Obedience helps you to be obedient.
Yes.
Obedience helps you to receive the necessary parts of God's word. Sometimes I do all that I know. Things don't move along. But I ask him why. When you ask the Lord why is something not moving along, you open the door to receive what you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And you can cure your problem. When everything, people don't think about annihilating their problem. They think about, how do I get relief? They pray for relief. If you pray for relief, you might get relief, but the problem's not, it's coming back. But if you commune with him and ask him questions and receive what he has to say, that's the power and strength of, that's what communion represents, relationship. Communion represents relationship.
He'll tell you how to kill the root,
yes,
the plant,
mm-hmm.
and the seeds throughout all of their generations, because you don't realize, you know.
Mm-hmm. God gave
plants
it.
Plants have roots, yeah. and they also have seeds. And if you don't kill the seed, the root, and the plant, like he said, your problem keeps coming
it
back.
Comes.
So,
yeah. If you don't want weeds in your garden, you uproot it. If you don't want snakes on the ground, you cut his head off. And if you don't, it's coming back. If you cut his tail off, he's coming back without warning because he has no rattle. But he still got venom.
Exactly.
Okay, we'll close here. And this is the communion book. I love this book. I love the way he put this. He said, "Thank you, Jesus, for your broken body. It is for my healing, my spouse's healing, and my children's healing. Thank you that by your stripes and by the healings you bore, by the lashes which fell on your back, we are completely healed." I believe and I receive. We receive healing. When we receive healing by faith, it's a law. When we receive anything from the Lord, we put it in motion. It can't not happen. He said, "Thank you, Jesus, for the new covenant cut in your blood. Your blood has brought me forgiveness and washed me from every sin. I thank you that your blood has made me righteous. And as I drink, I celebrate and partake of the inheritance of the righteous, which is preservation, healing, wholeness, and prosperity." It's all about love. When we walk in his love, we're continually setting forth a pattern of good works, which adds spiritual wealth to our life in every category. And then our prayers avail much. When you know that your prayers avail much, you know you got what you prayed for.
Yes.
And I was told Sister Cheryl had an accident, and I wanted us to pray for her speedy recovery. Because by his stripes, we're healed. It doesn't matter what happens to us. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for every promise of healing. I thank you for communion. And Lord, I pray that you will cause Cheryl, her body has a speedy recovery. I speak that her recovery is quick. And bless her body to come back stronger in Jesus' mighty name. Every attempt of Satan, I rebuke it. And I ask you to bless her body to come back stronger and better. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
I just told you about it, but she had it about a week ago. It was just a freak accident. It wasn't a car accident. She was in one of these trampoline places with her grandson. And a lady was riding down on top. And she was just sitting on the bench. The lady fell from top on her.
Yeah.
All right. She only spent one night in the hospital. She's out. She's doing, you know, she's recovering.
Mm-hmm. What, Satan after?